Share its scientific and industrial achievements with Islamic countries. The leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, made those remarks at a meeting with industry ministers of the eight developing countries known as the D8. Ayatollah Khamenei said Islamic countries should improve their status by utilizing their massive human resources and through cooperation. Meanwhile, President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad met with the ministers after they wrapped up their meeting in Tehran. The D8 conference adopted a statement which stresses the need for further economic and industrial cooperation between the member states. Tehran hosted the fifth D8 meeting on industrial cooperation from Sunday to Tuesday. Established in 1997 in Turkey, the group consists of Bangladesh, Egypt, Indonesia, Iran, Malaysia, Nigeria, Pakistan and Turkey.
Iran's parliament speaker says Tehran's diplomacy is based on justice, honesty and Islamic principles, stressing that Iran will not be lured into diplomatic traps. Ali Larijani says Iran's anti-oppression strategy helped world nations get rid of U.S. unilateralism and prevented the formation of an international dictatorial rule. Larijani made the comments at a Tehran conference attended by Iranian ambassadors overseas. The top parliamentarian also criticized the U.S. double standards towards Iran's nuclear program and said such approaches have undermined the U.N. nuclear watchdog.
Meanwhile, China and Russia have called for more talks to resolve Iran's nuclear issue. China's foreign ministry spokesman, Qin Gang, has urged the involved parties to step up diplomatic efforts to find a way out of the standoff. Russia's foreign minister Sergei Lavrov says there's still room for efforts to find political and diplomatic solutions. Beijing and Moscow have opposed tougher sanctions against Iran over its nuclear program. The U.S. and its allies accuse Iran of seeking to develop nuclear weapons. Tehran rejects the claim, saying its nuclear activities are aimed at meeting the country's growing energy demands.
Well, the 23rd International Islamic Unity Conference is opened in the Iranian capital, Tehran. The gathering focuses on religious diversity and the challenges posed by sectarianism. Yusumija Ahmadi tells us more.
Once again, scholars and Islam experts from around the globe have gathered in Tehran during the Muslim Unity Week, celebrating the birthday of Prophet Muhammad, taking the opportunity to promote unity and dialogue among Muslim countries and find ways to solve the problems the Muslim world is facing, as the 23rd International Islamic Unity Conference puts the spotlight on religious diversity and the challenges posed by sectarianism.
This is what the Quran and Islam commands us to do. A community with a population of 1.6 billion and living in strategically important countries should be able to put their differences aside and collaborate.
But the participants agree that this would require keeping an eye open for Western plots.
They not only sow division among Muslims, but go even further, inventing sects which act completely against the teachings of Islam, such as the Taliban, to promote Islamophobia. And today they are using the latest technology to do so.
But the same technology in this conference is considered a practical tool to bring Muslims closer.
Now internet is available, publication, books have been translated, and a lot of times the differences emerge because we don't know one country or the other, or their interest versus our interest.
And these 150 scholars will continue to discuss the Islamic Ummah from religious diversity to sectarianism, hoping to reach concrete results.
That whenever these great thinkers get together, it will have some kind of effects, obviously on the participants, but hopefully also when everybody goes back to his community.
However, they will not be spending the whole time in the conference hall. The participants will be visiting leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Khamenei, on Thursday before the closing ceremony, when the World Forum for Proximity of Islamic Schools of Thoughts announces the results of this three-day international conference. Gisumish Ahmadi, Press TV, Tehran.
Well, meanwhile, Iran has hosted the first international halal conference with the participation of representatives from Muslim and non-Muslim countries. Press TV's correspondent Salman Khudri was there.
When you hear the word halal, most people think of food. but an international conference on halal in Tehran also covered such issues as halal tourism, halal banking and halal cosmetics.
Halal brand can promote joint trade and investment among Muslim countries, which will lead to the formation of a common Islamic market.
With over 1.5 billion Muslims worldwide, halal food producers are making good money. But the share of Muslims in this lucrative market is far from big.
Non-Muslim nations basically are leading, taking all the businesses, and they have become economic power basically at our cost. So this is just the time to realize that one and achieve that goal.
But it's not just Muslims who are consuming halal food for being medically safe. European market experts say the halal segment is growing faster than any other part of the food market.
Halal brand is so economically attractive that non-Muslim nations are competing to get involved in this trade, and the demand of non-Muslims for halal products is growing.
Sales of food that meets Islamic standards are expected to reach $641 billion in 2010, up from $587 billion in 2004. The European halal food market is expected to reach sales of $67 billion in 2010. Halal brand has now become a rival not only for many food industry owners, but also for many medicinal products.
An Iranian company has produced halal version of erythromycin for the first time. In this product, the company has used herbal oil rather than commonly used pork oil.
Halal foods are not just sausage or meat. All foods can be halal, from cheese without animal enzymes to biscuits, cookies or coffee, provided that their producers clean their machines with detergents that contain no alcohol. Salman Khujuri, Press TV, Tehran.
Well, the U.S. has renewed its lease on an airbase in Kyrgyzstan, but it has been forced to pay more than three times the previous rate. The Manas base near the Kyrgyz capital Bishkek is seen as vital to the U.S.-led war effort in Afghanistan. 35,000 U.S. troops use the base each month on their way in and out of the war zone. Last year, Kyrgyzstan briefly ordered its closure, but it has eventually leased the base to the U.S. after Washington agreed to pay $60 million a year. The U.S. initially began to use the airbase after the September 11, 2001 attacks. Well, with that, we come to an end of world news here on Press TV.
And make sure to click on our website, presstv.com, for more details on all our stories. Our homepage is there, our top stories being Iran, hoping that the new IAEA chief, Yuki Amano, changes his approach vis-à-vis Iran's nuclear program. The death toll in Uganda landslide rises to 55, and the top UN relief official raises concerns over the Gaza blockade. All that, plus live audio and video stream, just a click away at presstv.com. And top of the hour, we'll be back for a recap of the headlines. Do stay tuned.
Don't go away.